do this. People's Campaign Against Nuclear Power, Monday, August 4th. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's my impression, too, that people who voted for the second alternative in this referendum did it maybe hesitantly, but loyal to the party, and now they have gotten a shock, and they what really was their natural feeling has come out finally. And I hope there are enough of these people to bring about a quick change.
Let me ask a question, which is really the major one I want to ask everyone I meet, which is for yourself as activists against nuclear power. Do you see what has been the effect of Chernobyl upon your own organization and your own activity? Do you see an acceleration? Do you see that Chernobyl having an effect in terms of perhaps moving for a quicker dismantling, or no? Do you think the Chernobyl effects are just it happened and the Swedes are just sort of blasé about it? I brought articles with me that say that. Sweden was the only country in really here that had no fallout hysteria like in Western Europe or Poland, Austria, Switzerland. People were just freaked out over the fallout. But in Sweden, people believed their scientists who told them it was okay, and sort of a complacency. So I really don't know. This is just an opening question, but I want to know, do you think that, what has Chernobyl done for your own organization in terms of your own efforts? Do you think it's going to lead to a greater mobilization or not?
Well, more members have become. I mean, people that used to be active in the movement come back and say, I haven't been doing anything for a long time, but now I've got to support you, at least with money. That has happened. I know that people have sort of felt that they would like to have questions answered by us because they didn't really trust the authorities. Can you trust them? They would ask. Or else the information they got from the authorities was very scanty and they wanted further information. People were concerned. I don't really know if they are blasé yet. Because we haven't met them really. Now it's vacation time, and these are my immediate answer. Maybe you'd like to say something.
Yes, it so happened that I was working in the office because I was preparing the IAEA conference, and all of a sudden all the telephones started ringing a lot, and people came in. And as Eva says, quite a few people wanted to become active again or for the first time in their life. Others, they called us and said, can I stay here? Should I might take my children and move away somewhere? And should I take iodine tablets or what should I do? A Swedish woman called us all the way from Greece and said, we usually go home to Sweden over the summer. Can I come or should I stay here? And a lot of journalists from all over the world called us, and Friends of the Earth and wise members from other countries called us and said, what's happening? And I must say that we were taken by surprise, of course, and we've been a bit shocked as well. But I think also you have to connect this to a study which was reported about a week ago, that Swedes don't usually panic. We don't even panic when we should. We should learn how to do when an accident has happened and to run away or get off and not just take things so cool or behave as if it didn't concern us, because we're not used to accidents. We're not used to war or bombing or anything like that. We've been living a peaceful life up here in the north, in a way.
Well taken care of
by the government, by the authorities, mind you. And this is also a policy we've been living with for the last 40 or 50 years, which is part of the reason why people do believe in the authorities still so much, that they don't think too much themselves, they don't take sides or try and analyze problems and think individually, because we are living and we've been brought up in a sort of cooperative sense.
so that you're used to being told what to do. And this is what happened with the referendum, when the Social Democrats told their voters and their members how to vote. I was told by a few people who went about in the households, knocking doors and talking to people about the nuclear power and having study groups and all this, and they said a lot of Social Democrats, they took part in these studies together with members from other political views and people who did not belong to any political party, and they studied the subject, atomic power, and they draw conclusions and they discussed it vividly. And then when the party leader said you should vote for this line too, which really meant twice as many reactors as we already had before we were going to discuss to phase them out altogether, they stopped all these studies, they stopped discussing it, they stopped thinking for themselves, and they closed their doors saying, no thank you, I know exactly how to vote. And then it could have been right contradictory to what they found out themselves just before. But their party leader had told them how to vote, and so it would be. And this is what we've been living with.
Yeah, that's not everybody voted
no.
for them, naturally.
Of course not.
There's always been a minority within the Social Democrats against nuclear power and also...
Yeah. And in opposition, too.
That's right, they are split on that. What is the immediate goal of your group? Are you focusing on Barsebäck right now? Is that it?
No, this is part of our work.
Part of it.
We want to close down all the Swedish reactors, and we want the Swedish government to take the initiative to an international phase out of all nuclear power in the world.
Yeah. And...
And armaments, of course. I mean, this is...
Yeah, and that is interesting because we were just talking before, in the States we tend to separate the two, nuclear power issue from the nuclear arms issue. That is, people who are active in one tend not to be active in the other, have an interest in it, but we separate them. One is an energy technology issue and the other is as a real military issue. But here it seems to be one, which is interesting for me to find out.
For all, it is, but not with all the Swedish organizations.
Yeah.
The peace movement, they split them up somehow.
Yeah, we have tried to approach the peace movement. They took over public interest, you might say, after the referendum. We sort of went in the background. And we've been trying to talk to the peace movement on the links between civil or atoms for peace, so-called peace, and nuclear arms. And we've had some cooperation on top level, so to speak, but activists have been concerned with one or the other thing, I should say. Everybody's within our movement is aware of the fact that they are linked, but they tend to work with the technical and the actual only nuclear power. And those who were more interested in the peace question, they became active in the peace organizations.
Do you think that the Swedish people today can, in terms of Chernobyl, believe what they're hearing? You know, in other words, you saying people, the Swedes are used to listening to their government, accepting what they say, and they've benefited from that usually, traditionally, and it's built some sort of complacency in them. Do you think now that, for example, they can believe their government in terms of the reports on radiation? Do you think there's a growing suspicion or not? Or is there still high credibility?
There's a growing suspicion, actually.
Yeah.
Especially among farmers and women, you know, all of a sudden we have 75% of the women say no to nuclear power altogether, and 60% of the people. We've never had such a majority saying no to nuclear power.
75% of the women in Sweden.
And 60% altogether.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
There was a TV poll about a couple of weeks after. I think it was 2 weeks after the accident. I'd say this, I think people believe in the figures that are given out officially, more or less. I think they feel that not everything is being said.
for lack of resources also, you know. Moran?
Hey? Yeah. Hello. Larry Berman.
Dan Sedergris.
Nice to meet you.
This is our treasurer.
Social Democrat?
Yeah, Social Democrat. In strong opposition to the government.
Well said.
Yeah. But then, I mean, people, the way people talk in daily life, they say, well, what do they mean? What do people, I mean, people are kidding around about the fact that the government or the SSI is saying this and that, and what about this and what about that, and well, if you can't let the cows eat the lower part of the grass, you'll have to tell them to stay up here when they are chewing it off, and you know, what kinds of absurdities.
My first night here, I was watching the television with someone who was my friend, who translates for me, they were on talking about how they had to take all the cows and dig that pit down to the ground and put them in, and then someone came up with another idea, which was that you could wash it, but my friend wanted to know, well, what are they going to do with the water? Where's the water going?
Who's going to wash the water?
That's reindeer meat, yeah.
Yes, the reindeer, yeah. And now apparently in yesterday's paper was the fish. Now they're saying higher radiation cesium more than they had thought.
They're surprised all the time.
Yeah. That's what happened.
That's the credibility issue,
what,
you see, on this. What are your views on the safety issue of the nuclear reactors here? Do you have any? I mean, when people come in and ask you how safe are Swedish nuclear reactors, is your answer that no reactors
safe?
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah. So, what would you like to see if they were shut down? What kind of alternative energy sources do you think could be used to supply Sweden with its energy needs?
Well, you know, we have a lot of water power in Sweden. And as late as the 1960s, we were very well off without atomic power altogether. We have woods, and we have the sun. We haven't used it before, but if we want to increase our production or consumption, well, there is a limit to that too, and we don't need all this. We're just wasting energy to a great extent, actually. But we can use the wind and we can use the sun, and we know the Danes are expanding their wind power program. They're actually building wind power plants, and they are computerizing the system, they are developing the technique. This is what Sweden should do as well.
There has been tension, though, between, I think, the ecology movement, for example, hydroelectric, and the pollution of waters and streams and everything.
Yeah, we don't want any new rivers exploited.
Yeah.
We want to use the ones that are.
We have cooperated with one organization called Save the Rivers. And
which we have in the States, the same exact one.
And
I pay $25 a year to. Yeah.
We agree.
Continue to.
On not wanting to use any more hydroelectric power. We think, we have been studying this issue a little more in detail right now since this Council on Energy is working. And one of our guys says that if you you can cut out 9 reactors today, maybe 10, and it wouldn't be noticeable, except for the fact that you will have to put in use some coal plants down south, and then oil plants. And the coal plants, they are there only for temporary heating or no power purposes, and they have not enough purification.
Oh yeah.
In fact, they have nothing. <It's it. coughs> Now, if they had wanted to, I guess they would have been able to install this kind of thing in about 6 months, so it would be ready for the fall or winter. But nobody has done anything about that. But supposedly, without changing our way of life or anything in particular, we can shut down 9 or 10 plants out of 12. And we would like that national.
That would be an interesting question for me to, I'll just, when I meet with the industrialists
mm-hmm.
and with the representatives, I will ask them that question, and we'd be just interested to hear how they respond to
the energy minister, or
Brigitte Dahl.
Yeah, she said on a TV program, I put the question to her, what would happen if they had to shut down immediately? Did they prepare any plan for that? And she said, we have one already for military emergencies. And maybe you should try and find out about that.
I will.
If possible.
Yeah. Do you think that within the government right now, they are planning to abide by the moratorium, that is, the phasing out by 2010, or do you think that the contingency planning has gone going, or are you suspicious and feel that the phase out won't, because the referendum was not constitutionally binding, and I've talked to many people who believe that the government will just say that we just can't do this.
Well, that's what we believed before this accident. I mean, we could see absolutely no moves towards phasing out. Even, you know, this Ringhals reactor that's getting $1.2 billion crowns
mm-hmm.
for repairs. That was
right.
The ultimate example.
Yeah, well.
And people were stirring already then, and then the accident came after that. But now I think all the material needed really for a quicker phasing out is already there. It's just a matter of putting it together. This is why this Council on Energy can work fairly quickly. And I think they're just waiting to see what's happening within the Social Democrats, if they can get away with doing nothing, or if they have to do something. So I think it is a matter of public opinion, really, and opinion within different parties.
I've heard from people who are familiar with accidents that Sweden is the worst case example of having a medium-sized accident like Chernobyl. That is, there are many contingency plans for major accidents, but that almost no thinking had gone into any of these plans on how to deal with the public about small-scale evacuations of the type like Chernobyl. And I found that very interesting, and that this has led, at least initially, to some thinking along those lines. But just for your own information, I don't know if that's true or not, but...
It's rather remarkable that there didn't seem to be any preparations or any plans of any kind of how to deal with an accident like this. I mean, if you have 12 reactors in your own country, you must be prepared for something like this to happen even within your own borders. What would they have done if it really had been the Forsmark reactor, which some of them thought for a time, you know, they had an evacuation.
That's right.
An alarm going at Forsmark. This is also very remarkable. That they didn't know that it wasn't their own reactor. That's control for you. To control the situation. And it was quite...
You were talking about the preparations for accidents.
Yes, for accidents within Sweden, for accidents from abroad, and I'm quite astounded, or, well, to me it's more of a confirmation, I'm afraid, that they don't know what they're doing. To us it's a confirmation of that they don't control the situation, they don't know the technique, they don't know what's going to happen, they don't know what might happen. And in the end, you get the feeling that they don't care about the people, they don't care about the population, they don't really, well, they don't look after us the way they say they do, you see, because they all try, all the time they try and tell everybody that it's not dangerous, we're looking after you, so to speak. We're looking after the people in Sweden, we make sure that nothing dangerous is going to happen to you. And this comes as contradictory information, of course. When something happens, they can't do anything because they don't know really what they're doing. They just say yes to technique and to industries without knowing the consequences, biologically or politically or anything, really.
Now before,
psychologically.
Yeah. In the television, in the newspapers, the men from the Radiation Institute say it is not dangerous. But if you read their more scientific reports, they said it is dangerous.
Mm. Yeah.
It is
yeah, here it is.
Opinions.
Yeah, this is their report on the Chernobyl accident, reactor
yeah.
accident, with all of the information, and it's a lot more serious when you read the fine
yes.
line than when you read.
Is this official information in
yes.
English?
Yes. Yeah, you can make a copy
yes.
of it if you like.
Yes, please.
And I got that in New York, but that's different than this article in the New York Times where. Our people have faith in their scientists and in information. We, after all, quote, it is no accident, this is the home of the Nobel Prizes. This is what the government is saying about why the Swedes have not mobilized quicker and have not panicked, because there's a tendency, it confirms what you've said about that, basically when the government says it's safe, there's a tendency to believe believe their government, but that's
yeah,
a very interesting.
And
report.
It also has, I think, it also
yes,
has
like
to do with the
yeah.
fact that I think this is such an inflamed issue. I mean, lots of people were worrying about nuclear power around end of the 70s and around the referendum, and they were fooled by this technical referendum and. They feel hesitant about making fools of themselves now again. They are afraid of making fools of themselves. They don't dare ask questions. They find it all very confusing and they are scared. This is what I hear from different people, and they say lots of Swedes, they are worried, but they don't dare ask questions to the authorities because they know too little. This is a difficult issue. It is full of emotions since 5, 6 years back, 7 years back, and it's very difficult to handle this thing. But I'm sure that if what people feel, a lot of people feel, could be shown in the open, it would appear that it would be necessary to phase out nuclear power pretty soon.
So today, line 3 would win, you think?
I think no, because I mean, you never know with the referendum. Look at what happened in 80, and we thought we would win. I mean, we felt we had the people with us, but we were.
We would have if there had only been two alternatives.
Yeah,
split.
Yeah,
I mean, you never know what's going to come up in a thing. So I wouldn't say we would win a referendum because I'm sure they would find some funny way of getting the issues confused.
Yeah.
But
politics is the same between countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The politicians is rather clever manipulators. Yeah.
No, but if the politician
Obama was very clever on this line too, though, yeah. on this splitting of line 2.
He is a little too big.
No, but that was
the people's mind. He talked to peace, but he get a connection with India to sell Bofors cannons.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
But what he loves doing, the biggest order ever of Swedish-produced arms to India.
Yeah, no, it's one of my...
Talking about peace, Palmer Commission and whatnot.
Now, before the Chernobyl accident, was your group also focusing greatly on the issue of the disposal of nuclear waste? For example, I mean, what are they doing with the waste here? Do you know? I mean,
storing it,
and eventually the plans are to put it in the mountains, or
they want to. They are drilling everywhere, and people are against it everywhere, and they cannot find a place to put it.
No, we have won a big victory actually. In October, I am from Uppsala, and they started drilling in October, in one of the suburbs. It's really the countryside. And in December and January, no, it was in March,
yeah,
they decided that the people blocked the drill, so they couldn't get at it. So for 6 months, approximately, they were doing nothing there. And people were out in the woods watching the drill, taking turns.
Day and night.
Yeah, I was there once.
Yeah.
And for Christmas, Birgitta Dahl said, well, you can stay at home because nobody's going to drill now, and we'll tell you. And the company also said, we'll tell you when we're coming the next time. And then finally in March...
So you can take your position.
Finally in March, the same day that they decided to give 1.2 million crowns to the Ringhals reactor, they also decided that there was not going to be any drilling done. So this victory sort of disappeared, you know, in the fact that Ringhals was given money for repairs, but it was really a great victory because everybody was out in that small community, not everybody, but lots of people, and they actually blocked the thing.
Since you're from Uppsala, maybe I can ask you, do you know the physicist Arthur Taplin? Taplin?
No.
He was there?
Yes.
An
he should be.
Activist.
Yeah, I know about him.
I can't reach him, yeah, that's why.
I know how to get hold of him, though.
Yeah.
If he's in Sweden, I can tell you how to do
great.
It.
I'll write down to remember later, because I've been trying and trying, and he's quoted all the time, you know, in the papers.
Uh-huh.
Against...
he's working with Björn Gilbert, I think. Probably in his office.
Mm.
Oh, I didn't know that, but... he's cited as living in Uppsala and leading it. The paper cite him as a, you know, obviously he was very influential in the development of the atomic bomb some 20 or 30 years ago, 40
yeah.
years ago. But now as a anti-nuclear activist living
yeah.
in your town is an interesting person. And he influences American public opinion, so that's why I wanted to see
mm-hmm.
him. I wanted to.
We tried to get hold of him. In June, we wanted to do something in Uppsala. We had Rosalie Bertel there. We had Japanese guy Ishikawa, who used to work for the Atomic Energy Commission. He's done doing work with the... you have his name too?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And we wanted to have Tamplin too, because we organized different meetings on radiation in Uppsala, because it was an area that was fairly heavily hit. And then I know that he couldn't make it because he was going back to the U.S. for a couple of months. So he might still
he
be
might
there.
He might still be there. Yeah, that might be it, because they've been trying, the Institute has been trying to to reach him. That's
mm-hmm.
a major thing there. Has your organization had contact with the LAPS, and are they, do they, for example, have you, have they shown an interest now in becoming politically motivated, now that it's just hit them? Usually they're obviously remote and up there sort of far away, but now for the first time, at least my friends tell me, that here is a potential group of people who ordinarily would not be so politically agitated and motivated, now that their livelihood, they're alienated, frustrated, they don't understand, that some group, some party, some organization ought to mobilize them, organize them.
I called them about 10 days ago, because, only a week ago, and talked to them. They have their office in Umeå, you know that.
Yes.
And I wanted to have this, because it was fairly recent that we understood that this area had been heavily hit. They only got to know it in June themselves, and then they didn't know how much, and it's widening, or the consequences are greater with every day. Anyway, yes, I talked to them, but we haven't had any formal cooperation, but they have been working with Save the River people, they said, now that I was talking to them. And one of our former board members is of the opinion that the LAPS are not they are too weak. I mean, mentally weak. They have never been
They have never fought, really. And of course, then if another group went in and said, let's do this in cooperation, that would help them, naturally. I know too little about them, but this was her impression. She's from Jämtland, which is another area where they have had a heavy fallout in the Lapp country. And she said that she hoped this would finally make them do something. Oh, they have been complaining about the rivers being used for hydroelectric power, which takes away their grazing land, and about forests being cut down up in the mountains.
Were you in Stockholm when they came down and the farmers came down and dumped their radioactive
grass
or hay?
That was
a
cool thing to do.
Yeah. Were you there for that?
No, I was here. I wasn't at the
Did it receive?
Part, but I knew.
Yeah,
about
it. Did it receive a lot of attention?
Going to happen.
Did it receive a lot of attention? And
no, they tried to quiet it down. Actually, I don't think the mass media was there and did very much about it.
Yes,
I saw
it on
in the papers.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a one-day thing, though.
And the cleaners came and took it all away.
Because you know we got it in the States. It made the news in the States.
Good.